John chapter number 4 in your Bibles. John and chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. If you would stand when you find it, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. John chapter number 4 and verse number 1. I want to preach to you on, thank you, brother. I want to preach to you on true worship. True worship. John chapter number 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Now the right answer to that is, yep. Right? Amen. You and I always want to prove who we are. Yeah. Jesus could care less. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this morning. I thank you for the privilege of being able to stand and preach. I pray now, Father, that you'd help me. I pray, Lord, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask you, God, to just be in the driver's seat. I pray you'd just help my thoughts to be in line and in order with the Word of God. Help my heart to be right with God. I pray, Lord, that you'd use me and make me a blessing to your people this morning. I pray, Lord, that they would respond as the Holy Spirit of God deals with them. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be a church who truly, genuinely worships the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that's my desire. And I'm sorry for the things that I have worshiped outside of my Savior. I pray you'd help us to recognize those things this morning, to help us to get our hearts right with you, that we may leave today, Father, a church that is right with God. I pray you'd forgive us for our shortcomings and our failures. I pray you'd be merciful to the things, Lord, in our church and in our lives that need your mercy. I pray for your grace and your mercy on every person here this morning. And we ask you, Father, to grant us the humility to admit when the Holy Spirit of God deals with us, the humility to admit God's right and we're wrong. And I pray, Father, that we'd be a church that has Jesus Christ at the forefront, the name of Jesus Christ high and lifted up, the Word of God magnified. And that, Father, we'd be a church that is obedient to what you've commanded us to do. And that in all things, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone would have the preeminence. Now, I pray these things would be true of this message and this time here together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. I want to take my text this morning out of verse number 23, that the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I seen this last week, some people who worship some things that's not true worship. I actually personally got to watch a bunch of very wicked people worship some false gods. To watch a massive group of people bow to the sun and worship the sun is an unbelievably life-changing experience. People who actually believe that they're so intelligent, they've figured out how this all got here without God. People who believe they're so scientific that they have the answers for where you and I came from and why you and I are here. Supposedly modern and educated people kneeling down in a field and bowing themselves to the sun and worshiping the sun. There's a lot of worship that goes on in this world. Can I tell you, every person in this room tonight, every human being on the planet has in them innately wired in their being a desire to worship something. Everybody does. Even those who claim to be atheists and claim not to worship anything and not really to worship God, not really to worship anything that there is, those who are agnostic and not sure whether there is or is not a God, everybody worships something. The atheist and the agnostic, the atheist, worships Mother Earth. They worship this new age religion in which, you know, we're supposed to do good to the earth. And they truly and genuinely worship the planet on which they sit. Seems so foolish to me. We had one guy at Stonehenge that really got, I was telling him about it on Wednesday night, that he got really upset with us because he was being a smart aleck. And as they were exiting Stonehenge, we were standing at the outside gates in a semicircle, 20,000 people all funneled through four gates. They're about 3 feet wide per gate, maybe 4 feet wide per gate. And the whole group of 20,000 people had to, when they left the Stonehenge area where their partying was going on, they walked through a set of gates and then they had a mile walk out to the parking lot where they exit a second set of gates. And we were positioned in a semicircle around that second set of gates and we were standing there passing out our gospel tracts that we wrote, you know, the What the Sun Reveals. And as we're standing there, the first hour and a half of people coming out was just kind of the people that weren't real serious. They were just there to party all night, get drunk and get high. And as they're leaving, you know, we're getting out our gospel tracts just as fast as we could. I mean, we were passing them out like crazy and they were all taking them. The last little wave of people that was coming out were the true, genuine, demon-possessed wizards and witches and warlocks and druids and the whole nine yards. They're all coming out at the last. And I'm telling you something. They were not friendly to our existence. The Wiccan, you know, the white witches in their white robes. I'll get into it a little bit more tonight, but by the way, the only reason they wear white robes and work white magic is because they haven't graduated yet. When they get farther along in the program, they get a black robe. If that don't tell you something, you're blind. It's just white magic. It's just good. No such thing. It's taking the purity and turning it over to the dark side. It's the true Star Wars. It's demonic. As we're standing there and they're leaving, the one fella comes out and he's backing out the whole way and he's talking all sarcastically, goofing around, getting the guys laughing that were following him. And he almost backed right into Mike Key, one of the pastors, the other pastor that was there from Maine. And Mike was watching him coming. He's a pretty funny guy, you know, he's a pretty sarcastic guy. He's standing there holding the gospel track like this until the kid, like, he turned around at the last second. At the very last second, he turned around and was face to face with Mike, kind of pulled up like that. And Mike's holding the gospel track against his chest and it's touching the other guy's chest. And he's just staring at him like that. And the kid was embarrassed because he was made to look stupid. So he started getting all like crazy in Mike's face, acting like a mime or something like that. And Mike just stood there holding the track out and just staring at him with, you know, no reaction. So I'm watching Mike, he's holding a straight face. He's trying to hand out other tracks. He's offered this, trying to hand them to people as they're walking by, and just kind of being real, you know. And the kid's trying to make him laugh and getting all stupid, trying to get everybody else to laugh at Mike. So I snuck around behind Mike, and I got behind the guy, and I got like that, and I started like, and Mike cracked, you know. That made him start laughing. He yelled at me, you know, got mad at me because I made him crack. Long story short, it made the guy mad that we were making fun of him. It's okay for him to make fun of us, but when we made fun of him and we were laughing at him, it made him mad. So he decided he's going to stand next to us and starts yelling to everybody, don't take the red dye, they're destroying Mother Earth. Don't take the red dye because there's some red ink on our track. Literally, this guy, he's preaching his gospel. And his gospel is don't ruin Mother Earth. I mean, how can a man who claims to be educated, who mocks us for having faith in God, faith in our Creator, where we have solid scientific evidence to back up what we believe, how can he mock our faith when his faith is so foolish and so stupid it makes absolutely no sense at all? Listen, you worship something by faith no matter what. The agnostic worships his own humanity. That's what he worships. I don't think we can be sure about anything. Well, what's the subject matter? We. I don't think I can know anything for sure. So since you can't wrap your mind around it, you won't believe in it. Therefore, you are your own God. You worship yourself. Everybody worships something. Satan seeks worshipers. Do you remember what he did to Jesus Christ? He said, if you bow and worship me. Satan desires worship. So you really, literally, everybody on the planet worships one of two things, either God or the devil. When a man bows to pray to a statue, I literally believe from what the Bible teaches that there are devils that will possess that statue, getting the worship they desire, bowing to devils, sacrificing to devils, and not to God. Listen, this morning you are either worshiping yourself and thereby pleasing the devil, or you're worshiping God. The Father is seeking this morning some people who will worship him, but he wants them to worship him the right way. We're in England and in Scotland. We're walking through church after church after church after church. That was deader than a hammerhead. I'll show you tonight in the slides. They literally bury bodies in the floor of the church, in the walls of the church. If that ain't a type, if that ain't a lesson, if that ain't God trying to speak to the people, nothing is. Big, rich, fancy Laodicean buildings. Yes, Laodicea was here 400 and 500 and 600 years ago. Laodicean buildings with dead bodies in the service. Listen, folks, they claim to be worshiping God. Many of them claim to believe in Jesus Christ, and yet they're truly not worshiping God, because God doesn't seek somebody to worship him in a building. God isn't seeking somebody to worship him in their religion. God is seeking them to worship him in spirit and in truth. So it matters what you believe and why. I notice four things in this chapter about genuinely and truly worshiping God. If you and I are true worshipers, number one, it begins with a love for Jesus Christ. You do not worship God if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 20. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You see, the problem with this woman is she was worshiping her religion, not the Lord. You cannot worship Jesus Christ and worship religion. That's why I do not repent, I do not recant, and I do not doubt what we named this church. I'm not against my fundamental Baptist brethren who are Bible believers. I'll say that again. The independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing, rightly dividing brethren, I'm not against. Amen. They're my friends if they're Baptist. Praise the Lord for that. But I don't think I did the wrong thing in saying this is the Bible Believers Church and we are gathering in the name of Jesus Christ. I think that's a great stand to take. I praise God for it. Listen, it ain't about my denomination. It ain't about my religion. It ain't about my forefathers. It ain't about the history. Hey, listen, the history that I'm worried about is the name of Jesus Christ and the doctrine he sent down to us. And that has fallen under many names in the last 2,000 years. It's about the doctrine, not about religion.
Here they are worshiping in this mountain. Our fathers worshiped here. The problem with most people today is they're too concerned about what their fathers are going to say and not concerned enough about what the heavenly Father is going to say. And I promise you one thing, if you cannot lay down your life, if you cannot lay down your reputation, if you cannot lay down what other people are going to say about you, then you can't worship God, because you're worshiping yourself, you're worshiping what others are going to say, you're worshiping your own reputation, and not worshiping God. You've got to be willing to lay it all down. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. My life is not mine to control. My life is not here. I thank God. Listen, I thank God for godly parents that raised me in King James Bible believing churches and taught me good doctrine. I thank God for them. They're precious. But my life today is not defined by how I was raised, when I was saved, how long I've been saved, who taught me, who my forefathers. I thank God for the men that God put in my life. They're priceless to me. I rely on them still today. But that doesn't define my life. You see, my life ought to be defined by a worship, a love, a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. You realize the first time the word love shows up in your Bible, you guys know what it is, right? Come on, shout at me. I need to loosen up this morning. What's the first time the word love shows up? Oh, come on, fellas. It's the love of a father for his son. Come on. Abraham, thank you. Genesis 22. The first time the word love shows up in the Bible is the love of the father for the son. When Abraham goes up into that mountain to offer his son Isaac, God said, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. First time the word shows up in the Bible, the law of first mention, right? All the way through the Bible, that thing will hold steady. God so loved the world that he gave the thing he loved the most, his son. That shows you how much he loved you. See? And that's the type there. You know what's interesting? The first time the word worship shows up in your Bible, Genesis 22:5, where Abraham says, we're going to go up into the mountain, boy, and what we're going to do is we're going to go worship God. You know what he's worshiping God with? What he loved the most. He was willing to lay down what he loved as an act of worship to the Father. You realize loving Jesus Christ, worshiping Jesus Christ, in order to worship God in spirit and in truth, you have to love God more than anything on the planet. It's a love. The word worship means to honor with an extravagant love and an extreme submission. No, I didn't swear. I said submission. Really, it's not a bad word. Submission. To extremely and extravagantly love God and extremely be submitted to Him is truly to love Him. I spent 2 weeks with some men who I believe worship God. They love the Lord in an extreme way. It is extreme to pack up everything you've got, quit a good job, take your wife and your children to a foreign country, where you're going to see almost no results year after year after year, and to go preach on the streets, to pass out gospel tracts. Just to be there because God said to be there, and just to do the work with very little results year after year after year, rejection after rejection after rejection, all day long getting rejected and coming back encouraged because we got out 200. You all day in a massive crowd of people and you only got out 200? We would at least do 10 times that if we went all day long to some big event. That's worship. It's extreme. People are going to look at you and say, what is wrong with you? You got yourself hooked up with a cult. What's the matter with you? But can I tell you something? It's worship according to the Bible. It's extreme. Worship of God, it comes from a love for Jesus Christ, a love that excels anything else that you love in the world. Number two, true worship listens to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. You understand that? True worship listens to what Jesus Christ has to say. Look at verses 27 through 30. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?
The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. This woman listened to Jesus Christ. She's saying, listen, hey, I talked to a man. And this man, when he spoke to me, he told me everything that I'd ever done. You see, it had stuck with her what Jesus Christ had said to her. She heard him. She listened to him. She took to heart the things Jesus said. Hey, that's the beginning of genuine worship, is to actually hear from God. We sit in church week after week after week with our eyes rolling back in our head, thinking about all the things we actually worship and putting on a pretense of worship, but not actually hearing God. We read our Bible every morning, but don't hear from God. We pray, but don't hear from God. It's not worship unless you're hearing Him. And He wants to speak to you every day of your life. Amen. Good. If you haven't heard from Him, it's because you're not worshiping Him. I promise God will talk to you. Yeah. I promise. I promise He'll sit next to you on the subway. He'll sit next to you in the bullet. He'll sit next to you on the train. He'll sit next to you in the car. He'll walk with you while you're on the street preaching. He'll talk to you while you're passing out that track. They may be looking at you saying, no thanks. Whatever. They may be mocking you, but God will be standing right next to you. I mean, Jesus Christ will be cuddled up in your heart saying, good job, boy. Get the next one. Look at this one. That one might take it. Good job, son. Hey, I love you. Good job, boy. Hey, I'll hear from Him if I want to hear. And true worship hears from the Lord. I'm glad it's not a one-sided thing. I'm glad my religion is not some dry, empty, vain thing where I walk in and I sit and I stand and I do the sign of the cross and I kneel and I get up and I kneel and I get up and I say a bunch of repetitive prayers. Hey, my religion and true worship of Jesus Christ is absolutely not one-sided. It actually hears from Him. He speaks to you. He is seeking you to worship Him this morning. And if He's looking for you to worship Him and He finds somebody who will worship Him, then that person He will speak to. And I'm glad He talks to me.
Yes, amen.
He talked to this woman. And she listened in spite of the fact that she probably did not like what she was hearing.
Yeah.
And folks, that's the problem.
Yep.
When a holy God starts talking to a sinful man, it almost never starts out with, I just want to tell you what a great guy you are.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm so glad you're willing to worship me. I've been looking for you my whole eternity. Now, usually it starts out with, hey, Mike, I'm glad you're taking the time to try to talk to me, but we need to deal with a couple things. You know, you got some pretty wicked stuff going on in that heart. I'm holy, Mike, and I'm glad you're here, but you're going to lay down that Isaac and that Isaac and that Isaac and that Isaac. And me, I don't know about you, me and God, we usually got a pretty long list to work through once He starts showing Himself to me. Takes me a little while to get through the cleanup phase till we can get going on the talking phase. God had some things to say to her, and she had some objections. Her first objections in verse number 11, it was a practical one. Sir, thou hast nothing to do or draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You realize sometimes there are some practical reasons not to worship God. Lord, you want me to pack up and take my family where? That's not conducive to a very good family life. Well, you got some practical arguments, don't you? But that ain't listening to God. That ain't worship. Can I tell you something? God is never going to ask you to throw away your family that He gave you and ask you to raise them for His glory just because you obeyed Him. But we have practical reasons to argue with God, don't we? She did. It's a good argument. Well is deep, you got nothing to draw with. You're telling me to take a drink, how are you going to get that water? See, she's thinking like Nicodemus in the last chapter. She's thinking physical, physical, physical all the time. What about? You guys realize how good we have it? In England and Scotland, their refrigerators would be about from this platform here to about that. That's their fridge. That's their fridge. About that wide. Their cars are just tiny. Their streets are real small. I mean, real small. The standard of living is very different from your standard of living, even in a very civilized and well-to-do country like that. They live in flats. A lot of people just live on a flat. They're very congested. They don't have the yards you got. Even the poorest people over here in the States, we got more room to spread out. We like our room. It's congested. Well, we got all these. We're just so stinking spoiled. And that's why the world's getting so dark. That's why it's going so bad in the churches in America. It's good to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and go see how some other Christians live. And to realize that what's so stinking important to you and so practical to you, and it isn't really that important to God or to the rest of the world. This world's a lot bigger than us. That's one thing, and I love my country. I was so glad to be back. I mean, so glad to be back. I love the United States of America. I love my church. I love my family. I love my house, my yard, my dogs. I mean, it's just good, man. Good to be home. Grace and I miss those little girls so much. Just love my kids. Glad my wife was with me. I couldn't have gone that long, man. It would have been bad. I got it good, and I love my country. But you know one thing that is nauseating about us? What we're always bragging about, pride. We feel like it's just all about us. The world just revolves around us. The world's a lot bigger than us. There's all kinds of practical reasons why we can't obey the Lord. I don't know if I could go. I don't know if I could do that. If he tells you to do it, you can do it. I didn't plan on getting on this. I got no idea who this is for, but the Lord knows. She had a lot of excuses not to listen to the Lord. Practical ones. Another one's in verse number 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She had a religious excuse. Well, you know, my forefathers have always done. My parents have said. You realize why some people haven't come to this church? It's because it would cost them something. What my parents will say. What my family's going to say. I've had people tell me, if you just put Baptist on your sign, we'll come. Oh, okay. Will you promise you'll tithe? Please note my sarcasm. Okay, well, then the Lord doesn't want you at our church. There's a lot of excuses not to listen to God. She has some family excuses in verse 20. Our fathers worshipped. Religious excuses, family excuses. How about this one? I think this is one the devil really likes to use on people. Verses 15 through 16. Woman said unto her, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And now she's finally willing to accept what he's going to say. Watch. Jesus said unto her, saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Now, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to pick at that? She was willing to come. Okay, sir, go draw the water so I don't thirst again. And he said, Go call your husband. I would love to have seen the look on his face. This is how I imagine it. She said he's going back and forth with her, going back and forth with her. He convinces her. Something inside of her is clicking. And she says, All right, draw the water. And he goes, Go call your husband. You ever have somebody say something like that to you and they're reading you? And they're right and you know they're reading you and you feel your face start burning? Because you're embarrassed? And they got your number? I imagine that's the look it must have been on his face. Go call your husband. Like he's been reading your Facebook posts, you know? Checking out your pictures. So how was Friday night? Why did he have to do that? You see, the Lord does that to us, doesn't he? And most of the time, that's when we shut down. Well, if you're going to be like that, well, that's just so self-righteous. No, he's trying to deal with the real issue. And you got to deal with the issues to move forward with the Lord. You understand that? That's why God told the pastor to be patient, because people take a long time dealing with their issues. And sometimes God has to really put the heat on them till they'll finally crack. That pride sets in. You got to deal with your issues. And the faster you deal with your issues, I'm talking about your issues between you and God, the faster you deal with them, the quicker you get to the solution. Just be willing to deal with the issues. She has her own failures. And see, most people can't get past their own failures. And here's the other problem. Most of the time, churches and religious people won't let people get past their failures. I've had young men say, God's called me to preach, and I can give you names, and more than one. One prominently sticking out in my mind right now. I could give you names and addresses, phone numbers. You could call them and talk to them, and I wouldn't do that to them, but you could. Where they said, God called me to preach, And the pastor says, well, I know, but you were divorced before you got saved. Or even after, whatever. This particular guy, before he was even saved, he was divorced. And the woman who you have a son with, you never were married to her. And the Bible says a bishop must be the husband of one wife, so you're disqualified from the ministry. And then they can't figure out why the guy's backslidden and out of the will of God and not serving the Lord and struggling the rest of his life. He'll struggle because God called him to preach and somebody brought up his own failures and used them against him out of their pharisaical, foolish, stupid, biblically ignorant. You want to talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? You want to let's debate it. You want to debate it? Let's debate it. But you better know your Bible. I'll give you a Bible for what the thing teaches and why. But they say, well, you know, God called you, but, you know, and I realize God called you, but you're disqualified from the ministry. Well, according to the biblical definitions, 99% of the preachers out there would be disqualified from the ministry. God calls who he wants and God forgives who he wants. Your failures will keep you from worshiping God. Offenses. Verse 18, Jesus comes right out with it. Woman says, I have no husband. She defends herself. I'm not married. What do you mean go call your husband? I don't have a husband. Okay, loophole artist. You're really going to get the creator of heaven and earth. You're going to box him into a corner, aren't you? You're not. He's going to reveal everything. Cutest stinking thing happened to me. Just the cutest thing. I don't remember what day it was. They're all blurring together. But shortly after I got home, my little Lillian comes outside. And I'm over there fixing the downspout at the house, you know, and she said, what you doing, Dad? I said, I'm fixing the downspout. She said, why? I said, so the water will run away from the edge of the house and not run by the foundation there. She goes, oh, okay. Dad, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, when he tells everybody all the things that I did that nobody found out about, are you going to be mad at me? you might as well just slap me in the face, you know? But I didn't let her know. I just kept working on the downspout. I said, well, honey, I think at that point you're probably going to be a little more worried about him than you are about me, but I got a question for you, though. Why would you ask me that? She said, well, when you were gone in Scotland, I got in the freezer a couple times when Grandma wasn't looking, and you know those chocolate espresso beans? She said, I ate some. I said, well, that would explain why Grandma said you wouldn't sleep all night. Funniest stinking thing in the world. Thank you, God, she didn't get a heart attack. But listen, you can't hide from God. She wants to get out of this. Please don't say anything to her about that. She's getting to an age now. Please don't say nothing to her. I don't want her getting a badge of honor for, you know, getting attention for something negative, number one. Number two, I don't want to embarrass her, so please help me with that. But here's the deal. She's looking for a loophole, and you can't get a loophole with God. You know, people usually resent that, the black and white. They resent it. Because your human nature, you want a loophole. Well, the reason I... So the Lord calls her bluff. Now, this is offensive. First of all, it's like, why'd you have to do that, Lord? Now this, you're taking it too far. Now you're meddling in her business. Verse 18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. He said, you've had five husbands, and the guy you have right now you've never committed to. You're sleeping with somebody and you're not even married to him. Excuse me? Who do you think you are? It is none of your business what I do in the privacy of my own home. You're dealing with the Creator. You're dealing with the one who gave you life. So he has a right to tell you exactly who, what, when, where, how, and why. But see, most people don't care to worship God enough to go, you got me, Lord. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Thank God this woman did. Verse number 25, she brings up another argument. The future. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now she's prophesying. You know that like eventually I will get right with God. I know what the Lord's telling me, but when Messiah comes, then I'm going to deal with this. Well, Lord, you know, when you... You know, today's the day. Now, if you're going to listen to him, then when he points it out to you, that means now is time. Understand something, and I don't want to chase this too long because I want to stay on track here. But understand something. You are not responsible for something God has not fully revealed to you yet.
Right.
I'm called to preach. So obsess about it. Drive yourself, your wife, your preacher, and everybody else around you crazy being obnoxious. Or relax. When the Lord shows you, I want you in this country, when the Lord shows you, I want you in this role, and puts you in the ministry, once the Lord has showed you, you are now responsible to obey Him. But if He hasn't showed you, relax. Right? Well, here in this passage, the Lord has already showed her. And she says, well, when Messiah comes, nope, no more time to deflect. He dealt exactly with the issue. He showed you exactly what's wrong. If you want to worship Him, you get right now. Or there's no worship until you're right. You got to listen to the Lord. Notice she had another excuse in verse number 9. It was racial. Oh yeah, I'm going there. It was politics. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Oh, you're trying to tell me about Jesus because you think you're better than me. We've had him say that to us. What are you doing over here? You think you're better than us? No. That's just your stinking excuse. Don't hide behind excuses. Listen to what he's saying. I like the way the Lord deals with her. Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, you know what? He's like a bulldog, man. He gets a hold of what he's trying to deal with and he doesn't let go. He doesn't take the bait. Like, well, why do you think of gay marriage? What does your church have for the GLBT crowd? I've been asked that. A pill. A pill? Yeah, the gospel. Amen. What do we have for the GLBT crowd? A Savior who will forgive them for their sins. You saying it's sin? I'm saying the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let them sidetrack you. This ain't a political church. If we're preaching truth, it'll fit here, it'll fit in Haiti, it'll fit in Scotland, it'll fit in England, it'll fit in Russia, it'll fit in China, it'll fit in Mongolia, if it's Bible. God is not an American. Deal with it. I know you got your political opinions and you're strong about them. That's great. But that ain't what you're called to. You're called to preach the gospel. And if we just get people saved and discipled, the problems in the country will take care of themselves. And by the way, that ain't going to happen. Your king's coming back to enforce his kingdom. And we're looking forward to that day. Amen. So you're supposed to listen to the Lord. You're supposed to listen to what he has to say. And you're supposed to listen in spirit and in truth. Verse 23. Truth. You realize you can't just say spirit and take it at that. You don't know what spirit you may be dealing with. Let me just say this. I believe with all my heart the devil has called men to preach. I believe with all my heart the devil has sent good families full of potential to mission fields to destroy them. It is a battlefield, folks. It is not a joke. I mean, just get out there. Now, you go and do social goods, you won't have too much trouble. Dig wells, hand out food, give water in Jesus' name. You won't have too much trouble. But get in the trenches with a King James Bible, with some gospel tracts, start preaching on the street and walking around where they're at, handing them gospel tracts, trying to tell you, find out what, it's a battlefield. And I believe with all my heart, the devil calls men to good things. You guys remember Acts chapter 16? The story where Paul and Silas wound up in prison and sang their way out? You remember that story? You guys realize there's a background to that story? You know what got them into trouble? Anybody know why they wound up in prison? Some girl with a spirit of divination was following them around saying, these men preach unto you the truth. They show you the way of the Most High God. These men preach unto you. And she's following them around preaching the truth, saying absolutely 100% the right thing to say. And Paul was grieved after a few days of it. So he turned around and cast the devil out of her. And then the fellas that were making money off of her, who were allowing her to follow them around and allowing her to preach the truth so long as the money kept coming in. They were for the church as long as they profited financially off the church. And as soon as the profits were gone, they got the fellas locked up. Be careful about just saying, the Spirit led me, the Spirit led me, the Spirit led me. God works with the Spirit and what? Truth. You need a Bible to direct you. And if God's going to work on you, He's going to do it through the Spirit of God with the Word of God.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. You got saved by faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody gave you Bible to get you saved. And the Spirit of God in John chapter number 3 brings the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God works through His Spirit and His Word. You separate one from the other, you got a mess. There's thousands of preachers across this country that hold and proclaim a King James Bible, and the Spirit of God has not taught them that book. And then, hence, you got a bunch of corrupt doctrine out there. You better have both the Spirit and truth. That's how to worship God. You got to listen. I want you to see the last couple of things real quick. Verse number 26. True worship leans on Jesus Christ. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. True worship leans on Jesus Christ. Now here's the type. Jesus Christ is leaning on Jacob's well. He's sitting there kind of tired and He's leaning on it. Now He's an example, right? He's leaning on that well. What's the typology there? Well, you remember the story of Jacob, don't you? A smart guy, a manipulative guy, a guy who had tons of business sense and could make money. I mean, he could build it from start to finish. Just having business sense, he was sharp. And he got to a point in his life where after having his backside of the desert experience for a long time, spending time alone and separated with God, he comes back, and on his way back home, he meets with the angel. The angel touches him and messes his hip up, and the rest of his life he walks limping. He has to lean the rest of his life. Once he got over his education, his experience, his capabilities, his call, whatever else he was relying on, he started leaning. And when he started leaning, God could start working. In Hebrews 11, just so you understand the type fully, in Hebrews 11, the Bible says Jacob worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. You can't worship if you're not leaning on Jesus. And you won't lean on Jesus till you realize how weak you are. Jacob had to come to that point. So the Lord's there at that well, and He tells the woman who He is. And at that point, she had to recognize it's Jesus, only Jesus. And when she realized her answer was not religion, it was not the coming Messiah, it was not this, that, and the other thing, it was the man that was right in front of her, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Messiah. When I say not the coming Messiah, understand what I'm saying. She's thinking doctrinally in the future, in the future. It was right in front of her. God was presenting it to her that very day. And Jesus was the Messiah. There He was. She had to learn to lean on Jesus Christ. True worship has to lean on the Lord. We spend too much of our life working everything out for ourselves. Too much of our life going where we want to go, doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, and not enough of our life just fully relying on the Lord. It's a blessing being stuck over there. My car breaks down back here with my mother-in-law and all my kids in it. That's a weird feeling. And thank God it happened in the parking lot, see? It's just the Lord. It could have happened anywhere. It happened, she pulled in and it happened right here. It could have happened at the side of the road somewhere. What a blessing. And I had no option but to just say, God will take care of it, and I'm pretty sure He's going to use the fellas at church. And sure enough, guys were all over it. You got no idea how much that ministered to me and my wife. Got no idea. What a blessing. You got to lean on God sometimes, because situations can be out of your hands. Circumstances are going to get where they are. You got to learn to lean on the Lord, and you'll learn to worship. The last thing I want you to see is true worship lets others know about the one being worshipped. Notice what this woman does. Verse 27, disciples came marveling that He talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way, and came into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto Him. Folks, if you truly worshiping God, you will let other people know about Him. Listen, this is not a call to preach issue. This is a worshiping Jesus Christ issue. He said, go ye into all the world
and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye. Go ye. You realize, really, honestly, you got no business going on a missions trip if you haven't passed out a gospel tract here this week. I'm not going to pray God provides you the finances or whatever it takes to get you there if you're not doing it here. He said Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Witness where you are and then be willing to obey him where he'll send you. You realize you don't have to be called to a mission field to go to one and to be an encouragement and to be a help, and we'll nail that down tonight. What are we really doing? What's the point of this? Is this just like, oh, that's so cool. What a great experience. It's an adventure. Or is there really a purpose here where something's actually getting done for Jesus Christ? You can do it. But you got to be willing to talk about him now. You got to be willing to speak up for him now. You got to be willing to show your love for him now. You'll never make it over there. The inconvenience, the expense, the frustration, the time away from family, the time off of work, and all that's entailed. There's too many practical obstacles in the way to even try something like that. You're not going to ever get there if you won't talk about him where you are today. And if you'll talk about him, every one of you, male and female, young and old, we all ought to be witnessing. If we're truly worshiping Jesus Christ, we'll witness for him. And we ought to work while it's still day. And thank God, to some extent, it is still day in America. There still is an open door. It's nothing like it is over there. Nothing like it is over there. We ought to catch the momentum where we're at. Hey, thank God you got some buddies to team up with and get out there on the street with. Thank God you got a church to worship and fellowship in. Thank God you got a family that's willing to let you go a couple hours. Get at it while you can. Because the time's coming when we ain't going to have that opportunity like we have it now. We ought to reach them. We ought to reach him. We ought to reach him. We ought to be talking about Jesus. All that woman had to do. Ladies, it was a woman.
Yeah, hello.
All she had to do is go say, come see a man. And you know what they did? They came. Man, what a blessing. True worship talks about the Lord because of what he's done for us. But I want you to notice in conclusion, and here's where your worship, the rubber's going to meet the road. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. What a blessing when your people that you try to reach believe because of your testimony. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, come on, man. Amen? It's a blessing, man. It's great. It's encouraging. Everybody's so fired up and excited about the fruit we've been having. You know what you guys were all fired up about last week? I'll tell you what it is. God was answering from heaven the obedience of Bible Believers Church. You sent your preacher. You let me go for a couple of years. People were saying, well, that's a long time for you to be gone. I realize some people may have been like, you know, nobody was upset about it. It wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. I'm not saying it like that. People are like, that's a long time for you to be gone. It is, I agree. But you were willing to send your preacher and your pastor's wife to go over there and try to be a blessing and help to some foreign missions. And that's a great thing. And while I was gone, the work kept going here. God is telling this church how to worship him. God's telling this church how he'll answer. Praise God. And it fired you up when people responded, didn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God. It fired me up. I was just fired up. Brother Dean's like, man, brother, that must be so exciting to be over here doing the work you're doing, seeing God use you here while God's working in your church at home. That must be, I say, it's amazing just to know it's truly a work of God. That's a blessing to my soul, man. Praise God for it. How about this? Verses 41 and 42. And many more believed because of his own word. They believed because they heard Jesus. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see it? They were putting her down. They didn't want to believe because some low-life harlot told them. We don't like you and we've never liked you. But we believe in the Lord. We don't like you and we don't like your style. But, you know, we believe in God, so that's why we're here. You realize they would have never heard him if it had not been for her
interaction with him and her making a big stink about him and all this attention being drawn to him because of her witness. And many of them refused to listen just because she was the mouthpiece. But when they heard him, they said, "We'll accept it. We're not joining your club, but we'll accept him." Now let me ask you a question. Would you be bothered? Or would you rejoice that he was honored, whether you were or not? That is true worship. Not self-glory, his glory. Stand with me to your feet, if you would, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I appreciate you giving me your time this morning and paying attention.